Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Oh, what a Monday on B&E. It's a red-hot Monday. Going to be close to 100 degrees today, I believe. Or it's going to feel like 100 degrees. What are we looking at today? 97 at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Remember I told you, not a lot of those 100-degree days, but it's going to feel like that this summer.
The entire week looks like no clouds and temperatures in the upper 90s. And the showers of May and June have now given way to the heat. And humidity.
Trey Ellen can't wait to kill me when the first 100 degree day comes. He said it's happening, and it's going to happen in June. You're not going to tell me it's going to happen in July. He's after me. I said you can't be after me. I can go right from the Farmer's Almanac. I'm not a weather guesser.
I'm a fan of the Farmer's Almanac. You know what?
I'm a soothsayer.
Buddy of mine was talking about that yesterday. Who owns a air conditioning company?
Yeah,
fixes air conditioner repair and
right.
He lives in the hood there, and he's like, yeah, I read the Farmer's Almanac. I listen to Bucky. He knows.
Yeah.
I got to know my business. This is Farmer's Almanac time. And he said, just like you, he said it's going to be rainy, and then it's going to be humid and hot.
What's the difference? Because it feels like 110.
Yeah, trust me. But red hot over at Dish Falk Field over the weekend. I think Texas was pleased to have those 8 o'clock start times, both Saturday and Sunday.
I think those were good, yeah.
Very good. And I'll give again on a good, bad, and ugly Monday props to Stanford. They went to Lubbock on Friday and Saturday and beat the heck out of Texas Tech in the Lubbock Regional. And props to Stanford. They showed up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're thinking, oh, man, they're going to melt. They were wearing black jerseys and said, hey, what up, Tech?
We're here.
Welcome. Yeah.
We're about to whip y'all's butt.
They beat the daylights out of Texas to rectum Tech.
Yeah.
That was big, big. So Stanford is through.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend at Q2 and seeing – what the temperatures will be like and how they handle
Austin FC.
FC. Debut, I'm going to see how they do that.
What a weekend. You know, people talk about June being a slow time. There's a lot going on in this area. I mean, you got the U.S. Open in golf coming up on Thursday. Torrey Pines, Phil Mickelson will be the story. I mean, he's coming off.
There's no doubt.
That's his home court. I mean, he's from San Diego, and he just won the PGA Championship. You know, he will be the.
Will you pick Phil? Will he be in your.
I will.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Dave Pels has me convinced. His short game coach, the master himself, Dave Pels has me. He'll be one of my picks if he's available. But, at Torrey Pines. And obviously the last time they played the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, I believe that was the great Tiger Woods Rocco Mediate.
God, that was a long time ago now.
That was 2008.
That's a long stretch.
That was Tiger Woods on one leg.
Yep.
Winning a major. And then, of course, his world collapsed not long after that. And
then there's Brooksy this week.
Brooks and Bryson.
This is good. This will be a good week.
Oh, man. It's all kinds of good.
Father's Day. By the way, don't forget the Father's Day now.
Yeah, Father's Day.
Take care of mothers, but let's not forget about
pops. It'll
be a big
week out at we'll get Andy Lockman on from Austin FC this week because not only do they have the Saturday night opener, their
Ladies.
First ever home game. Yeah, you got the U.S. Women's National Team playing this week in a friendly. So we'll have that to get into. So a lot going on. But first, you know what the top story is. It's Texas baseball. Somebody on the text line says, you guys have said a lot that Texas has gone to the College World Series the most times, 37. Somebody asked who was second. Could you guess who was second? This should have been our B&E fact of the day, but it was not.
Miami?
You're right. 25. So Texas now 12 more trips than any other school. Miami's 25. Florida State, 23. Arizona State 22, USC 21, Oklahoma State 20.
There was a stretch there where the University of Miami was pretty dominating in college baseball.
Oh, sure they were. Sure they were. But this is Texas's 37th trip. And, you know, if they win a game in Omaha this weekend, they'll just add to the most wins. They've got 85 wins at the College World Series. And another one would be obviously 86. And at this point, it takes five more wins to win a national championship for Texas. They need five more because you got to win your regional,
mm-hmm.
which is you got to win at least three games, and then you go play a best two out of three super regional against whoever comes out of the other bracket. So Longhorns are 5-0 in this postseason. They need five more wins to win a national title, and that's where they sit. Let's get to the headlines, the trending topics, including that Longhorn group last night at a raucous Dish Falk Field. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And that's right, yeah, the game's most storied program is headed back to Omaha. The University of Texas at Omaha, they call themselves, or they are called 37th time. They emphatically beat South Florida last night 12-4. Second-ranked Horns followed up that dramatic 4-3 walk-off win over the Bulls with a completely dominating performance last night. Tristan Stevens gave up a couple runs early, wasn't himself, but regrouped, tossed 5 2/3 innings to earn the win. Cam Williams homered, scored four times. Trey Faltini was 2 for 3, drove in three, also made a couple of incredible plays at shortstop. Mike Antico went 2 for 4 and drove in a pair as well. Longhorns now 5-0, as we said, in the postseason for head coach David Pierce.
Well, I mean, just kind of the whole thing coming together. I mean, just watching our players just continue to just play hard, and man, I'm just so pumped for them. I mean, you know how we started. It was tough. They just put their head down, just keep working, and I don't know. I'm kind of speechless.
Longhorns headed to Omaha. Also in their side of the bracket, Tennessee is through as well. They beat up on LSU this weekend. Two other spots in the Texas side of the bracket in Omaha to be decided today. Longhorns' first game in Omaha will be against today's Mississippi State Notre Dame winner in Starkville. Dallas Baptist will also play Virginia today for a trip to Omaha. Other side of the bracket is complete with Vanderbilt, Arizona, Stanford, and NC State headed there. NC State upset Arkansas, a top-ranked team out. NBA playoffs yesterday, after dropping the first two games of their second-round series with Brooklyn, Milwaukee Bucks have roared back, even that series at 2-2, beat the Nets yesterday 107-96. And bad news for Brooklyn, they're dealing with more injuries. Kyrie Irving rolled his ankle in that game. He'll be evaluated further today. Also yesterday, Phoenix Suns completed a four-game sweep of Denver, 125-118 the win. Chris Paul had 37, lead the way there on to the Western Finals now. Major League Baseball, Astros win the rubber game of their three-game set with Minnesota. 14-3, 20-hit attack. Michael Brantley had four of those knocks as the Astros get the win. Rangers drop the rubber game of their series with the L.A. Dodgers. They fall to the defending champions 5-3. And the Austin FC played to a 1-1 draw against Sporting KC on Saturday. As we've said, Austin FC opens up their brand-new stadium, their first home game coming up on Saturday night.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila or Blanton's whiskey.
TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
By the way, if Brad Stewart doesn't play the kind of goalkeeping he did on Saturday, they don't get that draw. They get hammered, yeah, probably 4-1, because that dude was, he had a couple point blank, him versus one defender, and he made about four stops. In the, during the course of that, he was fantastic in that game. And to have two draws, two wins, and coming back here, pretty good. I'd like to have had three wins and a draw maybe against one of the best teams in MLS. But, man, this is pretty good. You've been on the road for eight games, and there's not enough said about not being at home. But now they're at home for a bunch of games, so this will be kind of exciting for the fans who've been following this team as they move on.
A lot of passion around the soccer team right now and the club as they come back. And, yeah, it's been a rough stretch since early
yes,
April on the road. And, you know, I still think that yellow card to Alex Ring was huge. I mean, that might have been the difference in a win and another point potentially. But, you know, long season there for sure.
And a lot to go in that too. And I'll tell you, the good, the bad, and there was a lot of good. But I'll just say this. The bad is, and I know people don't want to hear it, but I got to say it, it's time for people to go back to work. This event we had out there, I've seen so many signs that say hiring, hiring, hiring. And even this weekend to be out there at that beautiful place out at Lost Pines, nobody's working. Nobody's going back to work. Y'all need to go back to work. I don't get it. I mean, how long did this
go back to work if you're still getting a check?
I mean, in the state of Texas.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. I mean, I think Governor Abbott put the kibosh.
The kibosh, yes.
Yeah, on this, like, collecting. People need to go back to work. I mean, this is.
Well, talk to anybody that owns a business, they can't find people.
How about the high Lost Pines? They can't. They don't make up your rooms. They don't have enough staff to make. You know, you sleep, and then and of course.
That's what, you know, Wayne Miller brought the amazing Louis Miller Barbecue and had the feast at the Mullet Open on Friday at the golf tournament. I mean, the brisket and the chicken and the.
He had one other worker with him.
I know, and I said, well, hey, I hadn't seen Wayne in a little bit. I was like, Wayne, what can we promote for you? What can we talk about at your shop? He said, tell him we're hiring. I need people. I mean, I need people to work.
The same guy that was serving cocktails was serving coffee the next morning.
Yeah.
He said, we don't have anybody at the hotel.
No, and that's across the board. I know so many folks who own companies, and they're having a hard time finding capable people that
so
want to come to work.
So you can never say that there's no jobs.
No. There's more jobs than there's supply and demand. There's more jobs than people willing to go to work right now.
And I got to believe it's not just the 1,200 or whatever it is. You must be getting something else, because you can't survive on even that. I know, that's right. You're getting these rental things that you don't have to pay your full rent. I guess that's why people, it's just building kind of laziness, isn't it? I mean, it's,
yeah.
Why work when you can get it for free?
Yeah,
exactly. A lot of it.
Not free, though.
It's not free. I'm paying for it.
Yeah. Certainly in the restaurant industry and a lot of industries, it's hard to get.
I've never seen anything like that.
We got a note the other day that they can't hire people at our swimming pool in the neighborhood. They can't, lifeguards. They're trying to staff up, and they're like, no one wants to become work.
Do they want me? I've been a lifeguard before now. Somebody may drown because I may not jump in for them, but I've been a lifeguard.
Come be a lifeguard.
I've never seen that.
At the Onion Creek, man.
I've never seen it at a hotel where you stay overnight because you pay your good money. And then I asked the lady, I said, oh, they can come and you know, do the sheets if they want. She goes, we're not doing that. I mean, I'm like, oh, because of COVID. She goes, no, we're understaffed. We don't have anybody to come in and make your bed. Now, I do that at my house, but you're at a hotel. You're thinking somebody's at least going to come in and do the sheet. I don't care about the towels. They give you 50,000 towels. You don't need that many towels. But they don't make up the beds at night because they don't have enough people to make up the beds. I'm like, come on, y'all.
Oh, man.
Get to work.
Go back to work or get some vacation time if you get a chance. If you are working, take some downtime because
I guess
everyone deserves that if they are out there busting their humps.
Except for BK. He doesn't need any more time, does he?
You two sound like girls sometimes.
What do you mean? Talk? What are you talking about?
He was on with me with you and you were running around on Friday.
Was he talking about me?
About who takes off time? Who takes off time? Just,
was he talking about? He wasn't talking about me.
I'm a
workaholic. What the hell is he talking about me for?
It is a Monday. It's B&E, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Longhorns Omaha bound. Obviously, we're going to talk to Jeff Howe coming up bottom of the hour from Light the Tower and, of course, Horns 24/7. Jeff will give us his thoughts on the baseball win, but also the football recruiting weekend. It was a big one. Arch Manning was in town, the top recruit. By the way, I saw a picture of him and some of the top recruits. He's taller than I thought he was. He's built like...
skinny.
But he's tall. That's the one thing. Whenever you see Peyton Manning, you're thinking, if you ever stand next to him, he's a big dude.
No, he's a big dude. He's not skinny.
Well, he was.
When
he was at the same high school in New Orleans on his way to Tennessee. But we'll talk to Jeff about Arch Manning and that recruitment and what went on over the weekend. Longhorns did land a commitment. As we mentioned, baseball today, there are two super regional finales today, the only two left. At noon today, DBU, good to go Patriots. Dallas Baptist will face Virginia for a trip to Omaha. And then Mississippi State will play Notre Dame. And if you're a Texas fan, you'll be watching those because all four of those teams are on the Texas side of the bracket. Tennessee, Texas, and then the winner of DBU, UVA, and Mississippi State, Notre Dame, will play their way into Omaha. And that's the Longhorn four-team bracket in Omaha. So those are teams you're most paying attention to. The Patriots, the Cavaliers, the Bulldogs, and the Fighting Irish today to decide it. And Tennessee's already there. Tennessee's good. Tennessee beat up on LSU. Tennessee is Longhorn's the highest-ranked team still alive, followed by Tennessee. Texas is two. Tennessee is three. Arkansas, see ya.
Yeah.
NC State took him down.
So I'm gonna go ahead and give Onion Creek my application for a lifeguard. Sit up there with my red grape smuggler. How cool would that be?
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Would you come by and take a pic of that? You've got to.
I was at that pool yesterday.
Double handful.
As a matter of fact, because it was so hot and warm. That's where you need it to be. It was like searing hot. So I'm the guy at your golf tournament on Friday who had a great time. We finished, let me say hi to Woody Englander and his father, Louie, and Rob. We had a good team, had a lot of fun.
Gave out a special award to Woody's wife who passed away.
Woody's Rhonda passed away last year after a battle with cancer and just a terrible situation. But Woody's a heck of a golfer. We had a good time. And then I'm the guy, you know, because you come off the course, you're hot, and then you're starving. Right, because I had a breakfast taco at like 8 in the morning.
And it was like a weird time, you know what I mean, when they
went
off
at 11.
Yes.
So you get there, and there's Wayne Miller with the Louis Miller barbecue, and he's got plates of it. It's like, oh, yeah. It's got brisket and chicken and sausage. And
oh, he did a great job.
So I take my plate, I load it up, and I get to the where I'm sitting over the potato salad and the macaroni and cheese. And I loaded the plate up so much it broke, like in my hand, like I was holding this one corner of it, and the thing broke. All my food falls into the macaroni and cheese.
So you got a combination of everything in
the
macaroni
and
cheese.
The guy behind me is like, "Oh, that was smooth." So now I'm like scooping it out of the macaroni and cheese. So my plate was like this goulash. It was awesome, but it was so good. All of a sudden, I'm like, I should do that more often. That was actually really good. Mix it all together.
Did you notice anybody masked up at the Mullet Open over 200?
No.
None.
No mask.
Zero. No mask. No mask up in here.
No, it was too much fun. But yeah, that was me. That was that guy. Dumped my plate of food into the mac and cheese. But it was good mac and cheese. You know,
it was all good. That's like I said, I sat back and ate. I had the chicken and had a big pile of potato salad. Nobody was around. And I was like going at it. I mean, like.
You folks in the Mullet Open can weigh in on the text line. But after a long round of hot golf, I know, is there anything better? I mean, that food's amazing to begin with. But when you're like, you're starving, you know, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah, thus means I got to do something in the midway point of bringing, I don't know, somebody, you know, Little John's, Papa John's, or something in between, because that's a long stretch. You know, that thing starts at 11 o'clock. And of course, you're sitting there out there and it's packed. The whole thing is packed. So the next time you have food is at 5 now.
Yes.
And that's the stretch right there.
And it's like you're coming off the desert in the oasis, and you're like, oh. And then, of course, I dump my food in the mac and cheese. Like, what a dope. That was unbelievable.
Thank you, Wayne. That was fantastic.
So good.
And everybody out there.
Can I just say, next year when Wayne is there, can you get him a canopy? Because he's out there.
You know, he goes outside.
He's outside cutting the beet.
I know. And then he comes inside in the air conditioning.
Like, yeah, can we get him get him a tent of some kind?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Wayne's the best, and all the partners were fantastic. It was a cool event, to say the least, and excited to be a part of it again.
That was
well
great.
Done. Well done. The Refuge Ranch and Burke Center for Youth, you're going to cut a nice big check to those folks.
Absolutely.
And rightfully so. And that's what it's
and
all about.
And as I said, you know it's good when Tito sends you a message. So. It was all good.
Tito Beverage?
Yeah, number 20. So, good stuff. Really, really enjoyed that. That's fun. That's worth the time right there. It's always worth the time. Like you said, it's like, I feel like the wedding planner, you know? And people are saying that, well, this gift, that gift, what do you got? And just to find out that, once again, raise your hand if you didn't get something. Everybody got something again. And the prizes were good stuff. It was some good stuff there.
Oh, shoot. I mean, I left after I got my golf bag. That I snagged. Who won the big TV?
I forget the young guy, but he was so excited. He had his family and didn't bring his truck.
Oh no!
So he was panicked about leaving it overnight inside the golf place. So he got that, and you know there were a bunch of people getting bikes. And I can't say enough about Brown Distributing. They gave away these coolers, these Bud Light coolers. They're like $200. I mean, there's $200 prizes on just the coolers alone, and they're filled with all kinds of product and. There were a lot of Bud products were out there. The pyramid was there for everybody closest to the pen. Got to take a case. They never leave a case behind. I noticed that. So there's 160 players. So 40 people. And we leave the pyramid with 40. It always seems to be gone, E, right at 40. Nothing left behind.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. All the partners, fantastic. And Longhorns, also fantastic.
Absolutely.
Over the weekend with their victories. And we'll talk to Jeff Howe about it. But the one thing... There's a lot to like about this Texas baseball team, obviously, is number 2 in the country and now 5-0 in the postseason, 47-15 overall. But their ability to take a punch, Buck, I mean, that's the one thing about this team all year long. When they've had some adversity, they respond big time, right? I mean, I always think about the way they went to Texas A&M and lost that Tuesday game in College Station, weren't happy with themselves, and they went on like an 18-game win streak. Remember that? They went 17 straight, just got on a roll. And then now, you know, they went to the Big 12 tournament and didn't play great. Which was kind of a lull after winning the Big 12 regular season championship. They go up and don't play to their standard in Oklahoma City. And how they responded? Well, they're now 5-0 in the postseason. And then within games, they respond. The game Saturday night, they're up 3-0. Ty Madden was tremendous. But your freshman closer gives up a couple of home runs in the ninth inning. One of them a two-run shot with two strikes and two outs in the ninth to tie the game at 3. That's a gut punch, Buck. That is a gut punch to where... The home team's in complete control. The crowd's in a frenzy. You're about to close this thing out and go up 1-0. And all of a sudden, it's 3-3. And the team that's playing with house money, South Florida, who's not even supposed to be here, all of a sudden has momentum. And they're back in this game. Well, Texas responds in the home half of the inning with the run. Eric Kennedy, the double to score the run. Texas wins it in walk-off fashion. And then last night, they do everything and dominate South Florida. There's a lot of moxie to this team. There's a lot of... resiliency to them.
But there's a lot of leadership too.
Yeah, that's right.
On all and at just about all positions, there's great leadership by some young players and older players, and the coaching staff. That's pretty good when you've got leadership at all points. You know, every once in a while you'll have, you know, three or four leaders on a given team that are really, really big time leaders. But when you got like every position with a pretty good leader or a very good leader, that's tons right there. I mean, that's tons for any team. And plus your coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, leadership, right? That's how you, that's why you're resilient. That's why, as Coach Pierce tells us, they're the same team every day, right? They show up, they go to work. You know, the coach doesn't have to worry about them lollygagging one day. They show up and they go to work and they play to a standard. And if they don't play to their standard, they, as players, typically respond
the
next time out. And that's a sign of a team that's got a lot to play for.
And that's why I always ask the question when we talk about this team, that's why I remember when people were getting really, upset about the fact that, man, they make too many errors on the bases. Well, they make a lot of things happen because they are willing to take those chances and they're really ready to go. They put the defense at a bad situation. Is that guy going to try to take this extra base? I better come up firing. And sometimes they come up firing and the balls go over guys' heads. They force that on people. They force you to make
a play.
An
aggressive mindset.
Yeah.
Ty Harrington.
I like that kind of baseball.
I do too. And Ty Harrington was with us last hour, and he goes to a lot of these games. He was at both games over the weekend and says, you guys, the way they cut the bag, meaning the way they round bases, that's a trained thing. They're aggressive on the paces. The game-winning run on Saturday night is your catcher, Silas Ardoin, from first base on a ball over the center fielder's head. I mean, he got the jump. He read the ball.
Right.
I mean, if he hesitates at all, he's at third, and it's first and third, and you still, South Florida has a chance to get out of the inning. Instead, he scores from all the way from first because he was aggressive, and you win the ball game. And as Ty says, and we talked about, they create runs because they're aggressive on offense, right? They've got speed. They take the extra base. Yeah, they get thrown out sometimes. People complain about the base running, but they also create scoring opportunities. And then on defense, they choke the life out of you with their defense and their pitching. Last night, that fourth inning, as we've talked about, the three spectacular plays they made, South Florida put a run on the board to make it 6-3, but that could have been a 4-5, 6-run inning easily. I mean, you're first and second with nobody out. Guy hits one into the deep hole at short, and Trey Faltini makes an incredible play to cut down the lead runner at third, throws the ball from his rear end. So athletic. Buck, if he just puts that ball in his pocket and doesn't get the out, it's still bases loaded, nobody out.
Right.
But not only does he get the out, he gets the lead runner out. And then the Antico play in center field, I still don't know how he made that play where it was a hit. I mean, it scored a run, but he just reaches down and scoops this ball. If he misses it, it's going all the way to the wall, and the race is on with the base runners. He makes the play, limits it to a run-run situation, and then the play for Tristan Stevens off the mound at home plate on the bunt attempt to try to steal a run. All three of those plays are like sports center highlight reel plays, and they make them all in one inning. And you got to know over in the South Florida dugout, they're going, what the hell do we got to do?
Yeah,
what do we have to do? That demoralizes a team when they're doing the right things and putting the ball in play, and Texas just keeps snatching it away from them. Their defense, as Ty Harrington said, they make playing defense sexy, and they do. And it hurt, the way they can pitch first and foremost and then defend behind it makes them a scary team.
Yeah, it will depress you the way – if you're the other team, you're depressed by the fact that, man, I hit a nice ball there. That should be a base hit. And no, they snatch it and make the play.
What is it Augie Grito always used to tell us? One of the reasons he used to bunt so much is that these are college athletes.
Yeah,
you
got to
make
right.
people make plays.
That's right.
These are not professionals. Make them make plays. Well, Texas makes the plays. And that's what's scary for the other team is they can create runs aggressively with their offense, and then they take things away from you with their pitching and their defense. I know that sounds like
and that's what the head coach is recruited to now.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. They're really good. All right, we'll come back. When we do, Jeff Howe weighs in with us. We'll talk with him about the Longhorn game. He covered it, of course, for Orange 24/7. Also, the recruiting weekend. What are the highlights coming out of a big weekend for Texas, including Arch Manning in town over the weekend? It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital. We're always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Think you might have had a bad weekend. How about this fella, a lobster lobster diver off Cape Cod, got swallowed by a humpback whale, and the whale spit him out.
He's lucky.
Yeah.
Must have tasted bad.
Tastes like chicken. he said it tried to eat me. Humpback whale swallowed a lobster diver, spit him out, and he's okay. He's in the hospital.
Think that would scare the heck out of me. Soiling yourself right there on that one.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. An obviously terrifying scene in Austin, Texas over the weekend down on 6th Street. Thoughts and prayers to all of those involved. And one man is who was traveling from New York vacationing was killed innocently as a bystander to the chaos on 6th Street over the weekend. Just a terrible, terrible scene. And again, thoughts and prayers there. But Longhorns, part of the good. They're headed to Omaha for a 37th time. Also a big weekend for Steve Sarkisian and the Texas football team with a recruiting weekend. With that in mind, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and get the very latest from our man Jeff Howe from Horns 24-7. Of course, Light the Tower at 10 to 12 every day here on the Horn with Craig Way and the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hey, how come when they patched me through just now, the first thing I've got to hear is Bucky talking about soiling himself? Like, did I miss something there?
No, man.
No, guy just got eaten by a humpback whale and lived to tell about it. So he's talking about how scary that would be.
That's scary.
Well, I'm with you, Buck. I would probably need some fresh drawers after that all.
Yeah, for sure.
We all did after the heat of the weekend. What do you call that? The Gold Bond Powder, Buck?
Oh.
It's a Gold Bond Powder weekend.
A lot of Gold Bond Powder out there.
Hey, how was recruiting weekend for the Longhorns? We'll talk some baseball with you, Jeff, first coming up. But what do you think, what were the highlights of Steve Sarkisian and a big recruiting weekend, second big weekend for the Longhorns?
Other than Arch Manning's visit, because I've been doing this for over a decade now, well over a decade covering recruiting in the Texas market. I have not seen this fan base. And granted, it's been a downtime for the program, but recruiting never slows down. I have never seen Texas fans just kind of lose their minds over a recruit the way they've done with Arch Manning. And I think the reason why is, coming into this visit, Texas had done pretty much everything it could to just get its foot in the door and be in a positive position. And I'm hesitant, especially this early in the race, and knowing Arch Manning's got two massive visits coming up. He's going to Alabama and Georgia. That's next up on his summer tour. But right now, if you wanted to call Texas the leader, I wouldn't go there myself, but I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you if you wanted to make that case. I think the job Steve Sarkisian has done, the way they've connected with the family, the way they've connected with Arch, A.J. Milley has done an outstanding job. Texas is like, it's time to start thinking about this in terms of, Texas can realistically land Arch Manning in the 2023 class. Now, a lot of other good stuff happened this weekend. They got Reuben Owens, their 23 running back commit back on campus. Jonte Cook from DeSoto, one of the top receivers in the state in the 23 class, he was on campus. They get a 22 commitment from Anthony Jones, a really nice athlete out of Las Vegas, but it's all superseded by the fact that, any chatter about Texas and Arch Manning, it is real, it is tangible, and it's time to start thinking about Texas being one of the schools to beat in this recruitment.
And that recruitment started with those guys when they were at Alabama, right? I mean, obviously the Sark and A.J. Milwee, that's a relationship that began there, but obviously now at Texas and an opportunity, Austin, you get to sell Austin, you get to sell, a lot that goes on here. And obviously the last name Manning is royalty in the game of football. How good is he, Jeff?
I mean, I saw an article a couple of weeks ago that kind of the lead into it was, he's got Peyton's, he's got Archie's mobility and, Peyton's head for the game and Eli's poise. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're basically telling me he's the greatest quarterback that's ever played the position of all time. Because that's what you got if you combine all those things. But, he's probably going to be the number one quarterback prospect in the country in 23. But I think, the expectations are going to come with the name. But, his game is as legit as you can possibly get. I know our rankings team at 24/7 Sports likes him a whole lot. So, he's got a chance to end up being the number one quarterback prospect in the country in the 23 class by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think that's why he was asking you, how good is he really? Is his name going to take him? Obviously, it's going to take him a little bit further than anybody else, but is his talent, how good is he? I mean, can he lead a team to a national championship possibly with all the right people around him? Or is he just a really good quarterback? And the name is taking him further than his abilities right now? Because he's still got another year.
Yeah, I mean, look, and he's got another year, and he's going into his junior year, but, yes, the name is there, but Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dabo Swinney, those guys don't use quarterback scholarships on just anybody. And the fact that he's pretty much everybody's number one target on the board, I think that pretty much says a lot. Look, the name is there, but the talent is there to match it.
Yeah, obviously, Peyton and Eli both number one overall picks, both going to the Hall of Fame. Doesn't mean he will, but boy, he's got a lot to like there. Jeff Howe is with us, Horns 24/7, of course, Longhorn Blitz podcast, and Light the Tower coming up in about an hour and a half. Jeff, the the rest of the summer for Texas. What does this look like for the Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian? The one thing I keep hearing from, you know, current players and people around the current players, Jeff, is, you know, it's fun to play football again. Like, they're having a good time again. I don't want to just bash Tom Herman and his previous staff, but, you know, Keandre Coburn with a statement over the weekend that he's found his love for the game again because of this coaching staff. That's got to be a good thing for the current team and certainly for the ability to recruit the future.
Well, I think part of that was a big part of that. He was start taking stock of what really needed to happen. And I, you know, for me, considering where we were, you know, Charlie Strong never threw Mac Brown under the bus. And considering the roster he inherited and some of the roster issues he inherited, he had every opportunity to do that. Now, did he handle himself publicly in terms of how he talked up his players as well as he should have? Probably not, but that's, you know, there's no sense in going back down that road. But I mean, think about all the, you know, the slugs Tom Herman threw in his first spring. He's calling defensive linemen fat, and I mean, this, that, and the other. And you know, basically, there were tire marks on Charlie Strong's back. And Sark hasn't done that. And I think he really took stock of what this program needed. And look, it's no secret. I know you guys talked about it on your show. We wrote about it on the site. We talked about it on all our shows on the station. I mean, Tom Herman did not have a good relationship with his players. Those players had good relationships with assistant coaches, but there was no relationship. I mean, I'm not even saying a bad relationship. In some cases, no relationship with the head coach. And I think Sark recognizing that that was a bridge that needed to be built, not rebuilt in some cases, just built, period. I think that's a head coach coming in and looking at what needed to happen. And that's really what this program needed. They needed these players need to feel like their head coach legitimately cares about them, because that wasn't happening before. And I think that's why, you know, the Keandre Coburn comment you mentioned, that's why you're seeing some of the buzz you're seeing right now, because Sark, just the way he is, they feel like he genuinely cares about them, not just their number or whatever on the roster, but they're people, and he cares about them as people.
Jeff Howe is with us, Horns 24/7. Well, your thought about this Texas baseball team, Jeff? Obviously, you've been going to the games at the Dish since you were a kid. This is a pretty high-level ball club. They got a lot to like, and now they're in Omaha. But it's not just about getting there. It's about doing damage. What are your thoughts about their ceiling here?
I love the resiliency of this team. I was texting Kevin Dunn last night, and Kevin's seen, you know, more Longhorn baseball than I have. But I can't remember a Texas team that like this one that has the ability every time they get hit in the mouth, they respond. And in baseball, and, you know, and look, I've spent enough time around Augie Garrido to know, you know, when you start pressing and trying to do too much in this game, that's when you can get yourself in a bind. But so that's easier said than done, to be able to respond like that. But, man, this team does. And, you know, I think to go through a postseason, to go through a regional and a super regional, and to trail for half of an inning and really, you know, get to Omaha in dominating fashion, look, don't sneeze at that, because, you know, hey, Arkansas through the regular season of the SEC tournament, they look damn near unbeatable, and they're not going to be a part of this thing going forward. So don't take for granted not just getting to Omaha, but the path this team took to get there. And, you know, I think when, you know, one of the big pieces for me, Aaron, with this team, and maybe, I don't want to say it's the biggest positive coming out of the weekend, but one of them, and the way Eric Kennedy started swinging the bat, mm-hmm. and he's producing at the bottom of the order, David Pierce really likes that mix, because when you get into those middle innings, if you can get into a situation where a starter's getting taxed or a team has to get in their bullpen, and you can get Kennedy and Antico on base with their speed, you can't shut down that running game, and they can create a lot of havoc on the base pass with their speed. So just up and down the lineup with Kennedy producing, what you got out of Trey Fontini. You know, they're going to Omaha really trying to figure out how to get Ivan Melendez and Zach Zubia right. And if you can get those guys right, you know, with their starting rotation, with power arms you've got at the back of the bullpen, yeah, they've got just as good of a chance as anybody left in the field to go win a national championship.
And, Jeff, this is a team that's probably got as much speed as anybody that's going to Omaha, as a matter of fact. This team can run. They can force you into making mistakes on defense. And you've always got to be aware on defense, just routine balls, you know, a ball that's a base hit and hit the left field or the right field. You got to come up throwing with this group. You can't come up and just lackadaisical throw the ball in to the cutoff guy. Like, they won't take an extra base on you. If you screw up, they'll take that extra base. They force you to be on the alert all the time, which is kind of cool. I like the fact that every hit, every base hit is not just a routine base hit. It's pressure for the guys fielding the ball. It's guys cutting off the ball. It's guys at second base. Are they going to keep on going? I like that part about this group.
Yeah, Bucky, as far as that goes, you know, I keep going back to in my head, you know, when David Pierce first got the job, myself and a couple of the other writers on the beat, you know, we had lunch with David Pierce in one of the suites of Dish Rock, and he was talking about just his, we're talking about recruiting and his philosophy and how he wants to build a program. And you're seeing that because the one phrase that he kept mentioning that keeps sticking in my head was he wants a team that can score in multiple ways. He wants guys in a lineup that got some dash and pop. He wants guys with speed. He wants guys that can handle the bat and you can use the short game. And, you know, we've seen all those things throughout the postseason. You know, they've got guys that can hit the long ball. You mentioned the speed. I thought the bunt Doug Otto had last night, the improvement he's made in the bunt game, that's the kind of stuff that wins you baseball games. And they're elite defensively. So, yeah, they can score in multiple ways. They can win games in multiple ways. And like I said, I mean, you look at their side of the bracket, I think as good as Tennessee is right now and as good a baseball as they're playing, I think you've got to say Texas is the favorites to come out of that side of the bracket in the championship series.
Jeff, we appreciate it. We'll hear more from you and our audience will coming up 10 to 12 on Light the Tower with yourself and Craig. And I know you're going to be recording the Longhorn Blitz podcast with Rod and Matt that's always available and airs here on the Horn as well. So appreciate it. A lot of Longhorn content as always. And appreciate you checking in.
Yep. See you guys in a bit.
Thank you.
All right, there's Jeff Howe. Arch Manning. Arch, that's a cool name too. It's cool.
I like it. You know, quarterback name.
You know, pretty good lineage there with Archie, of course, then Eli and Peyton, of course, for you, and he is the son of the other Manning,
Cooper,
the non-quarterback. Yeah, Cooper, who played high school football and then played college football at Ole Miss, mm-hmm. but was a wide receiver, if memory serves. But he is the son, so he's the nephew of the Manning brothers. All right, when we come back, we will continue these conversations, but you know what it's time for. How about a Monday after the Mullet Open Blitz? Wow. All right, we'll bring that strong.
I ate the chicken with the fork.
I was so hungry, I ate the brisket with my hands. I don't care. I didn't care. Where's my fork? I spilled it all over the mac and cheese, but I just went ahead and devoured it because Wayne Miller and Louis Miller Barbecue was quite tasty on Friday. We'll come back. Lit up the blitz. We'll hit your salacious gossip. First, though, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All the gossip, no games. Load up the blitz, 447-3776. Your time to shine is coming. It's only as good as you make it. So bring the blitz. The gossip leads you into it. And it's brought to you by Bud Light. What a weekend. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. You needed them. It was hot. It was steamy. And that's going to continue. Whether you're out at the dish, occupy left field, watching the ball games, or at the Mullet Open on Friday, or just hanging by the pool, or wherever you were finding relief from the heat, do it with a nice cold Bud Light, the Bud Light Seltzers. And again, thanks to Brown Distributing for all the help of the Mullet Open. That was a lot of cold beer.
Certainly was. They do a great job. They've been doing a great job for 20 years, as a matter of fact, there. And 100 years that they've been around.
Awesome. And you know what's coming up this week? Austin FC. Austin FC will open up the new Q2 Stadium with the first home game. And, of course, Michelob Ultra, the official light beer of Austin FC. They're Brown Distributing and great people there. So Bud Light.
I'm excited, but I'm excited to see how they make that place cool in June.
Well, I mean, it'd be like the dish, right? I mean, it's same start time, 8 o'clock over at the dish over the weekend. It'll be 8 o'clock for Austin FC against San Jose on Saturday night.
I'm wondering about my face painting stuff, how that's going to work out.
Well, if it was in the daytime, your face would burn off because it is hot. But they do have shade there, and it should be a nice week. Plus, we've got the U.S. Open this week, so get ready for that. Get your Bud Lights all loaded up and ready to go for the United States Open Father's Day.
We have a day, too.
A tradition unlike any other.
We have a day.
Leave me some Bud Lights.
Leave me alone.
Let me watch my golf.
Leave me alone. Not much to it.
I don't want to cook.
Nope.
No, I don't want to barbecue. Nope.
Nope.
I want to lay here and watch the golf.
Dad, happy Father's Day. Can you cook for us that day, though? Can you do the barbecue?
Not going to happen.
No.
Hey, how about this from Salacious Gossip? You know the guy I mentioned that in Massachusetts who says he was eaten by a whale, a lobster diver? Guy claims he was 45 feet down in the Atlantic Ocean, and the humpback whale took him in his mouth for about 30 seconds before he brought him to the surface and spat him out.
Whew.
Now, a nurse now on scene at the hospital doubting his claim.
Oh, boy.
Doubting his claim because she suggests that if it happened the way she does, he says it happened, he would have had the bends because he came
so
far down so fast. That he would have had a real problem with the pressure change that he didn't have. Uh-oh.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Where are we at in society today? Where are we at in this society today? How about this one? This will make you question society. A woman in Michigan got stuck in a folding chair around her waist last week. Firefighters had to come and use the jaws of life to get her out of this lawn chair. Turns out, this is a lady who does fetish videos on TikTok, and people pay $2 a minute to watch her get unstuck from various places.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. She goes, she goes by the name Sydney Joe on TikTok and makes money posting something called Stuck Videos. Firefighters had to come use the jaws of life to get her out of a folding lawn chair. The hell is, I mean, okay. The fact that there's a market for this is the problem. She's
making that money doing that? Like sticking her head down in toilets and then getting her head stuck in places like that?
I don't even want to know what she gets stuck in. How she gets stuck.
I can't even imagine.
And why
that.
People want to pay to watch that. That is bizarre. What is that, like an, what's the name of the, Zay, what's the name of the channel, the X-rated, like, TikTok channels?
OnlyFans?
OnlyFans. OnlyFans allowed in for money. Moolah.
Millions of people watch that madness.
I still think
you
need the Naked Gardening OnlyFans account for the buck over there.
The straw hat.
Great.
And the sandals.
How about this? 44-year-old Pennsylvania woman facing charges after she tried to hire a hitman to kill her husband for $4,000. Turns out it didn't work out. She asked for a payment plan for the hitman, $100 a week for 40 weeks. What's wrong with their
society? Come on, man.
Where are we at in society today? It's unbelievable.
The layaway? A layaway hitman?
Yeah. Come I can on. Only give you $100. Yeah, how long is she going to pay that deal?
No.
Not for long.
No.
She really didn't like her husband. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. She was going to lay him away on layaway. How about that?
That's terrible. That's terrible, Charles Barkley. How about this? Can you, this is really sad. I mean, this is the whole theme of this salacious gossip is where are we at in society today? A new survey asked people where different landmarks are in our country. Only 38% of Americans knew that the Grand Canyon is in the state of Arizona.
Really?
38%. Where are we at in our society today? Matter of fact, in this survey, 5% of people thought Niagara Falls was in Iceland.
Get out of here. Come on, man.
What are we teaching in our schools? What is happening?
Lincoln Memorial.
You've been to Niagara Falls?
In Chicago.
Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
I mean, really?
All
right. I'm not buying that. That's made up.
You've
Come
been
on.
To what, dude? I've been to the Grand Canyon. Have you been to Niagara Falls?
I have not.
Never?
I've never been to Niagara Falls.
Really?
No.
I would have thought for sure you'd have been. It's beautiful. Uh-uh. It's a beautiful thing.
I have not been there.
But it is one of those things, once you get this, like...
And by the way, I've been over the Grand Canyon, and
I've been to the Grand Canyon. It's beautiful. I love the Grand Canyon. But like, what is it? What's the one in South Dakota? Mount Rushmore?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get there, you look at it, and like, oh, okay.
That's it?
That's it.
Let's leave.
Drive all the way out into the Badlands, and you look up, you're like, okay,
I'm
there it is.
Grand
looks
Canyon.
Just like the picture.
I have Big Ben. I have Big Ben to go to.
I'd rather
to.
Go to Big Ben.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can hike and do all kinds of stuff. Let's go
Absolutely.
To your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitz, are you up?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm calling to inform Chris Picante. Thank you very much for inviting me to throw the ceremonial first pitch for both games this weekend. This is Charlie Strong.
Oh, the Charlie Strong Invitational. Texas took down
so he did not throw out the first pitch.
I did see Chris Del Conte take a jello shot, though, out in Occupy left field.
I saw that, too. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, what?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I went golfing with my buddies this weekend from a bachelor weekend, and they asked me how many balls I bought. I said, I bought these nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's it. We're done.
That was one more.
Is there one more?
Uno mas.
No. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Mindset matters. Shout out to my brother from another mother, Sun Tzu, TC, who understands that every battle is won or lost before it is fought.
Thank you very much. Short and sweet on a Monday.
Let's go!
By the way, someone on Twitter named The Real Clyde did send us a picture of a candle. And he says, new candle for the B&E studio. And it's
no
a candle
way.
That's called Take a Whiff of These Nuts.
Come on, man. We're not putting that up in here.
Up in here?
Come on
up
now.
Up in here. Somebody asked on a text line where Roy G. Biv lives. That's Idaho, correct?
Idaho.
That sounds like a nice place
Cordillera.
To be.
Cordillera.
Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene, yes.
That's the bed and breakfast. And
you.
The guy who you met who owns the bed and breakfast legally changed his name to the colors
Roy
of the rainbow.
Roy G. Biv, yes.
Roy G. Biv. Still can't believe we haven't had him on the program yet.
Nope.
Need to have him on the show.
We do. Summertime we should, probably.
Summertime. All right, we're coming back. We roll on. Texas on the way to Omaha for the 37th time. Talk about how they got there and what they can do once they get there. Who are they going to play? We'll get you the details on that. Also, the rest of the good, the bad, and the ugly from a hot but busy weekend in the ATX and a great week on tap as well. A lot to do. Live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and you know it's always there at hornfm.com.